Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the Union Naval.
To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome aboard, everybody. Welcome aboard. I'm ever yours, Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Thank you so much for joining us. Well, if this is your virgin voyage, allow me to share with you our mantra. Folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedroom, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. We feel there exists this cavernous gap separating the two orthodoxies, and that it's a gap comprised of many degreed-thinking people who can argue quite passionately in shades of gray. And to that end, each and every show, we have fine guests to help best illustrate this point. Today is no exception. Also, if you wish to hook up with us on the web, it's www.alannathan.com. Don't forget that email address, alan@alannathan.com. That's A-L-A-N. Coming at you live and strong each and every Monday through Friday at this time. Don't forget the classic Alan Nathan Show, Saturdays, 6 to 7 p.m. And overnight Sunday mornings, 3 to 4, all times Eastern. We are indeed a Main Street Radio Network production. Please check us out at mainstreetradionetwork.com. Feel free to avail yourselves of our nascent but always robust Twitter and Facebook options that we have there for you. And of course, with great dispatch and alacrity, we love to thank our distributor, the Salem Radio Network. That's right, the Alan Nathan Show is entering its 28th year of national syndication, all thanks to you, reaching about 800 towns and cities across a couple of hundred radio station broadcasts each week. Again, all thanks to you. And by the way, I don't care if you're part of the authoritarian left or perpetually clueless right. Please get out of the thought control business. Our topics du jour, as you may have heard, well, sort of part two from yesterday. The mass shooting of children in Minneapolis has been twistedly followed by Democrats blaming guns more so than the monsters abusing them. Why is that? Also, D.C. Mayor Bowser now acknowledges Trump's law enforcement success while other Democrats still deny the proven reality. What is their reasoning? And also, Democrats still, for some reason, say they're winning support nationwide. Pardon me. Of course, this is despite the New York Times reporting that they hemorrhaged 2.1 million registered voters, while the GOP gained 2.4 between 2020 and 2024. And oh, by the way, subsequent to that, added another 166,000 since Trump's return. So are they in denial or just sociopathic? Without hesitation, we have assisting in the opining and analyzing old friend of the show, John Zemirak, senior editor at The Stream. He was press secretary for Louisiana Governor Mike Foster, as well as having been a reporter and editor at Success Magazine, as well as Investor's Business Daily. He's co-authored like 14 books, has one out right now called No Second Amendment, No First, highly praised work. John, good to have you back. How are you today?
Good to talk to you, Alan. It's been a kind of a grim week, of course.
Oh, my God, has it ever. And it's just astonishing. And, you know, the Democrats are talking about how we need to ban guns, but wouldn't it be more efficacious to maybe harden the security at both schools as well as places of worship and do that instead of letting them remain the soft targets that are a natural lure to the demented? You notice how these animals, they're never inclined to have mass shootings at police stations or military bases or other armed government installations. But, boy, they'll always go at these soft targets. But whenever you mention to the Democrats about hardening them, they'll say, well, nobody feels comfortable in a militarized zone. Well, you know what? I think people feel more comfortable when they see more security because everybody who's innocent instinctively knows that they are there on their behalf, not a part of the criminal community from which they need to be protected. What the hell am I missing, John?
And we're also missing the fact that transgenderism is being turned into a militant ideology with armed militias calling themselves Transifa all across the country. Andy Ngo, NGO, has been documenting this. Transgenderism is a particularly bizarre ideology that radicalizes people because they're told that they're a prisoner in the wrong body and that all of society has oppressed people like them for all of human history. And we didn't know that there were 47 genders until Bruce Jenner appeared on the cover of Vanity Fair magazine. And that was a scientific discovery that suddenly we're all gender fluid and you can switch genders whenever you want at will during the day and switch it back at night. It is a totally demented ideology.
No, it really is. But I want to separate the genders of the world from the rest. He did that after years of learning about himself. He did it as an adult. Okay.
Right
now, we're compelling kids to make this decision at an age when they're still considering which Marvel comic strip hero they wish to most emulate. You know, this is not a time for them to make the decision. So Jenner making that decision, I acknowledge the existence of the trans community, just not to the breathtaking, imbecilic degree that the Democrats would have us believe, because they're doing it, as you said, for the purposes of weaponizing. And not only that, gender dysphoria only a few years ago was recognized by the psychiatric field as a disorder. Matter of fact,
yes,
a few years ago was recognized by what they call their DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Disorders,
right,
or Mental Disorders or what have you. But it's a primary reference book for everybody in the field of psychology, be they psychologist or psychiatrist, the latter being with an MD, the first not. And they indeed looked upon this gender dysphoria as a disorder, but the Democrats have co-opted it as an extension of political weaponizing. And if you dare to expose what they're doing, they try to characterize our expectation for their accountability as somehow being more inappropriate than their dodging of it. And I think more and more people, to their dismay, are catching on to this. What say you, sir?
Oh, yeah, they're trying to get kids to change their sex when they're too young to consent to sexual activity. They're giving kids drugs that permanently sterilize them, that can make them incapable of orgasm later in life. This is a demented and, I think, actually literally demonic ideology. I don't think there's a natural explanation for this. I think it's preternatural. Now, I know I'm not sure you're a religious believer, but there's a man, Jonathan Kahn, he's a rabbi, a scholar, and he did a book called The Return of the Gods. And I recommend it to all your listeners. It's about how ancient forms of paganism and the crazy things associated with paganism are re-emerging in modern society in demented and dark forms. And the transgender cult is one of them. We're not talking about a few rare people who have a rare disorder. I'm talking about they've got something like 8% of Americans under 14 are now consider themselves on the gender spectrum. That is
crazy. And the truth is, a lot of times these folks, be they male or female, just might happen to be gay, and those are the ones most vulnerable to this persuasion. Gay is,
right,
as far as I'm concerned, gay is perfectly natural. Okay, a small percentage of our species happen to be gay. I don't believe in the reparation camps and all that crap. I'm sorry, I've always been against that. You're gay, fine. There are such things as bisexuality. But when you take in young teenagers especially, the existence of their gayness, if you will, and try to use that as a justification for making them think that they're actually experiencing gender dysphoria when they're not. A lot of these folks are saying, hey, I'm a guy, I'm happy to be a guy, I just like being with other guys. I'm a woman who happens to like being with other women, but I still want to remain a woman. These, unfortunately, are folks who, when caught at a vulnerable time in their lives, when they're just going through their own discovery, can be very easily persuaded into believing that they're trapped in the wrong gender, when that's not the case. And I think go ahead, you were going to say.
A lot of kids on the autism spectrum or who've been sexually molested or who've been abused in other ways, they're just being swept up and casually diagnosed as transgender, and these clinics are making millions of dollars butchering these children, and you've got teachers and school librarians encouraging it with things like Drag Queen Story Hour and groomer books that they put into public children's libraries.
But what is the left more interested in after the shooting? That somebody like Amy Klobuchar, senator, might have misgendered somebody. She was on a PBS show or whatever, and she referred to this killer as a he instead of a she, and the announcer, the anchor, said something to the effect of, we're not quite sure. This person had their name changed at 17. They identified as a woman, so they're a trans woman, a biological male identifying as a woman. Well, the reality is, if we look at the fine print, we find out that this guy in his own writings started regretting his transfer to the female identity. He regretted it. So if anything, he was leaning more in the direction of he than she, if we're going to even use the measures and standards of the imbecilic left. What am I missing here, John?
What is it that's leading these people to target children and target churches? This is something like the sixth transgender terrorist attack on a place of worship or a Christian school. This is a pattern. If this were happening to Muslims, there'd be a national scandal about the Islamophobia.
This guy, in his manifesto and in his videos, was gleefully celebrating the carnage he was about to inflict, celebrating the deaths of the children he would bring about. He was an animal, and it's best that he is now dead. But there was a chance to keep him from getting to this point, and his mother blew it, or whoever had the most influence in his formative years. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network.
Each day, more than 1,000 children across the world are diagnosed with cancer. And despite it being the leading cause of death by disease among children in the United States, many of today's standard treatments were approved more than 30 years ago. That's exactly why Northwestern Mutual has made it our mission to bring attention to this cause. We declare September 4th as Golden Moments Day, a day of national recognition across the United States to honor stories of resilience, community impact, and breakthroughs in research and treatments that will light the way to a brighter future. To reinforce our commitment, for each new financial plan delivered to prospective clients in September, the Northwestern Mutual Foundation will donate $100 to Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation, up to $2 million. That would fund 40,000 hours of research. But there is still work to be done. Help us make a lasting impact this September. I invite you to join us in our mission to find better treatments and cures for childhood cancer. Visit northwesternmutual.com to find an advisor near you.
Burgers and hot dogs may headline the grill, but baked beans are making a strong showing at summer cookouts. Chef James Briscione has more.
Baked beans are incredibly versatile. I use them in hamburger bakes, layer them into hot dogs with cheese, and even stuff them into grilled chili rellenos. They bring big flavor with little effort.
Chef's Chili Relleno recipe starts with poblano peppers stuffed with Bush's vegetarian baked beans, onions, jalapenos, and red bell pepper. For something heartier, hamburger baked beans combine seasoned ground beef with Bush's original baked beans.
That Chili Relleno dish is one of my favorites. It's easy to prep, great for vegetarian or gluten-free guests, and the beans add that smoky, savory bite that works with anything else on the plate.
Another go-to for feeding a crowd is baked bean and cheese hot dogs. Made with Bush's brown sugar hickory baked beans, onions, and cheddar. Bush's baked beans varieties include original, brown sugar hickory, vegetarian, zero sugar added, and more. Visit bushbeans.com.
There's nothing worse than losing cell service while exploring the great outdoors, but that's changing fast. T-Mobile is bringing coverage to the most remote parts of the country with T-Satellite with Starlink, reaching over 500,000 square miles where towers can't. Thanks to over 650 satellites already in orbit. Over a million messages have already been sent in hard-to-reach areas from national parks to remote trails. King of Phillips, travel expert.
As someone who's constantly off the beaten path, this changes everything. Now I can stay connected, even deep in the mountains or deserts.
For more information, visit T-Mobile.com. Sponsored by T-Mobile.
This back to school, you don't have to overspend to make it famous. Famous Footwear has the newest styles your family loves. From Jordan to Crocs, Adidas to Nike, Converse, New Balance, Birkenstock, and more. Always at a great value. Need the perfect fit? Their in-store fit experts have you covered. With over 830 stores nationwide and Famous.com, back-to-school shopping has never been easier or more stylish. Famous Footwear, the brands you love, the value you deserve.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Ever yours, Alan Nathan, the Militant Moderate. Thank you so much for joining us. And boy, is there a lot going on. You know, recently Fox reported on the Iowa special election results at the state level. Says Iowa Democrat Caitlin Dre on Tuesday defeated Republican Christopher Prusk for an open state Senate seat, flipping the Republican-held seat and breaking the GOP supermajority in the upper chamber for the first time in 3 years, according to unofficial results from the Woodbury County Auditor's Office. I guess that means, okay, so the GOP still have one hell of a majority. It's just no longer a supermajority. Anyway, weighing in on this was Democrat National Committee Chair Ken Martin. He said, quote, "Iowans are seeing Republicans for who they are. Self-serving liars who will throw their constituents under the bus to rubber stamp Donald Trump's disastrous agenda. And they're ready for change." Goes on to say, "Make no mistake, when Democrats organize everywhere, we win everywhere, and today is no exception." Now, I don't know on what kind of pharmacological excursion this guy has taken himself, but oh my God, please, Ken Martin. Sleepy state-level special races do not a trend make. Sleepy state-level special races, where only really the desperate are motivated, do not a trend make. Even the New York Times has reported that between 2021 and 2024, Democrats have lost 2.1 million registered voters, while the GOP have garnered 2.4 million, and 166,000 of them have been added since Trump returned to the Oval. And even some at CNN appear to be catching on to this. But before I get to Harry Enten talking about the numbers, and before I return to my illustrious guest, whose patience I appreciate, before I get to him, let's hear some exchanges on this from the Raging Cajun himself. He, of course, is the one who's most famously associated with Bill Clinton's victory in 92. And he's been, you know, a Democratic strategist ever since, who's looked upon as an iconic figure. And he is just so fed up with the tactics and strategy of his own party, especially when looking at the last DNC meeting in Minneapolis. Clip 7, James, if you please.
DNC Chairman Ken Martin began the meeting by inviting Lindy Sowmick, S-O-W-M-I-C-K, I'm reading from here, a self-described indigenous queer woman, unquote, to acknowledge the land had been taken from the Dakota people. Lady, you're right. That land, what we did to Native Americans is really been well documented, and it is a sad part of our nation's history. Why are you bringing this up in an election? This is an election, and the DNC is not the place to discuss this. Understand this. The DNC does not exist to right wrongs. It doesn't exist to acknowledge the more unpleasant parts of history. It doesn't exist to make people feel good. It exists, get this through your head, to win elections. Please stop this. In the name of a just, merciful God, don't you see what's happening? Don't you see where this has brought us to?
Anyway, assisting in the opining and analyzing over the show, John Zmirak, senior editor at The Stream, again, former press secretary for Louisiana Governor Mike Foster. He was also a reporter at Success Magazine and Investors Business Daily. His latest work is the highly praised effort, No Second Amendment, No First. John, appreciate you sticking around, and it seems that the Raging Cajun is raging again, sir.
Well, you know, I'm sorry, James Carville. If you don't like your colleagues' attempts to put lipstick on the pig, but you help make the pig. The problem is that progressivism, the left in America, is not so much a political movement. It's a replacement religion for Judaism and Christianity. It's a replacement for the God of the Bible. Its spirituality is fundamentally, you can boil it down to white guilt. If you're white and you can feel bad enough about yourself and try to turn the country over to be colonized by immigrants, what they were doing in Britain and in Germany and in France, if you the idea of self-abnegating, of sacrificing your own people on the altar of historical guilt, that appeals to a certain kind of elitist who wants to feel good about himself, who wants to distinguish himself from the rednecks, from the crackers at Cracker Barrel. It's an elitist phenomenon, and it's a religious phenomenon. It's a fanatical post-Christian cult disguised as a political movement, and Carville is finding that it's eating itself alive.
Yeah, it is evolutionarily regressive. It is that. I should also point out, though, I'm in mild disagreement with you. I agree with everything you said, but I believe what you stated is the vehicle by which they want to bring about a goal. I don't believe it's the goal itself. It is, if you will, a transitional goal. The ultimate goal is to destroy our representative government and the capitalism that drives it. Because this seems to be apropos of what was told to us by someone by the name of Yuri Bezmenov. He's a former KGB agent. He defected to the West, and he explained the rudiments of the tactics that are employed by most people on the hard left, be they hardcore socialists or communists, and whether they be Russian or Chinese, from either China or Russia. And what he said is, and I'm going to give you the cliff notes on this, basically it's four instruments. One is demoralization, where you compel a culture to feel guilty about its infractions, its imperfection. You convince it that its imperfections far outweigh its redeeming qualities to the point where it must be erased. It's not redeeming enough. Whatever is good about it is not good enough because of the overwhelming preponderance of the bad. Like for us, it would be slavery, what have you. That demoralizing leads to step two, which is destabilization, because you naturally have people who resist this tactic, and that resistance boils up to the point where it becomes a crisis, step three, and then you have what's known as normalization, where an authoritarian government finally clamps down on the crisis of its own making, because then the people have been beaten down so much, they'll take the normalization, even though it's from a far more authoritarian government than existed before the process started. So you have demoralization, destabilization, crisis, and then normalization. This is the effort of the hardcore left. What we're seeing right now is just the latest instrument they're using to get to that point. John Zamirak?
No, you're absolutely right, Alan. And that whole process you so cogently described was done to us during the COVID panic. That was an escalated attempt to impose authoritarianism through all the steps you laid out, where people were beaten down, locked in their homes, their churches were closed, there were political riots in the streets, one group got to riot, the other couldn't even have church services, and people were just desperate to save their skins. They were so terrified of this virus, which Anthony Fauci created as a bioweapon using U.S. taxpayer money in China.
And now we're recognizing that they were wrong on so many levels. I mean, the idea that mask wearing would do anything, even though COVID aerosols are only 1/17 the size of the pores found in the finest of surgical masks, 1/80 the size of the pores found in the finest of cloth masks. The only ones that can stop it are N95s, and they're impractical because they're best for a doctor who's standing still doing an operation, not running around generating enough carbon dioxide to become a portable greenhouse hazard unto himself. But again, these were instruments to deliver the results of that old framework: demoralization, destabilization, crisis, and then normalization. Granted, these are just the cliff notes of my own making, but if anybody wants, they're more than welcome to look at it. The four steps from Yuri Bezmenov. But this is the plan, and they use it over and over and over again. And so far, we've been able to beat it back, but they still keep using it. John Zamirak, thanks again. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show. Stick with us.
Substance use and mental health often go hand in hand. Research shows that teens who struggle with their mental health are more likely to use drugs and alcohol. That's why the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention launched the Free Mind campaign to help prevent substance use and overdose among youth ages 12 to 17. As a parent or caregiver, you play a powerful role. Staying connected with your teen can reduce their risk for drug use. Before you talk to them about drugs, talk to them about how they're really doing. And remember, empathy is key. Ask questions, listen without judgment, lead with compassion, let them know they're not alone. Because sometimes an open and honest conversation between you and your teen can make all the difference. Learn how to start a conversation at cdc.gov/freemind/parents. That's cdc.gov/freemind/parents. Sponsored by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Summer has arrived, presenting great job opportunities within the travel industry. Pilot, the largest network of travel centers with nearly 900 locations across 44 states, is hiring 7,500 team members. With weekly pay, training, support, and competitive benefits, Pilot is committed to supporting its team and helping them make the most of their miles. Abby Bilbrey, field recruiter at Pilot, shares insights on the company's commitment to hiring as summer travelers hit the open road.
Pilot is hiring 7,500 team members called Journey Makers across our travel centers, on-site restaurants, and tanker fleet. We seek driven, reliable, authentic, and welcoming individuals to ensure our guests are fueled up, filled up, and lifted up for the road ahead. Join us to be part of a company that continues to show people they matter at every turn.
To learn more or to apply to become a journey maker, visit jobs.pilotflyingj.com/national hiring.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon? Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey, what is Ken Martin doing that? You don't have but one job, Ken. It's to win. No, honestly, I mean, she's probably a friend of yours in Minnesota. I'm sure she's a perfectly elegant, nice person. That has nothing to do with this. You're supposed to try to win elections.
Agreed.
Before we leave this, in case you're wondering, Fox was over this like stink on. They were all over it, as you could well imagine.
Well, that was James Carville, former campaign manager for Bill Clinton's campaign, the famous originator of the phrase, "It's the economy, stupid." And that's still the theme. He's right about that. His wife is Mary Madeline. We've had her on the show as well. But he's very, very upset with his party's hierarchy and its management, saying that they're too preoccupied with things that don't win elections. He was on his politics war room with guest Al Hunt. Maybe that could be his co-anchor. I don't know. We've had Al Hunt on before, formerly of Crossfire on CNN. Anyway, he had been talking about how the DNC meeting in Minneapolis began with a land acknowledgement, blasting the DNC for even mentioning it because their job is to win elections, and this is not the right kind of messaging. He rhetorically asks if party members understand what they're doing, and Hunt seems to be in agreement with him. And echoing that sentiment are a number of folks, and it's, I think, in large part attributable to that New York Times report showing that between 2021 and 2024, Democrats have lost 2.1 million registered voters, while the GOP have garnered 2.4. And 166,000 of them have been added since Trump's return to the office, to the Oval, the beginning of this year. I'll tell you what, without further ado, let's go to old friend of the show for some opining and analyzing, A.J. Bruno, political and media strategist. He's vice president at AMW PR. Previously, he has worked as a state director on Michelle Bachmann's presidential campaign. We used to have her on a bunch of times as well. And he's also contributed to outlets such as The Hill and Red State, as well as The Washington Examiner. AJ, good to have you back. How are you?
Alan, always a pleasure. All right here. How about you?
Hanging in, hanging in. It does appear as if the Democrats have one side that are realists, and the others that are not. Recently, after a sleepy special election in Iowa that the Democrats happened to win, leaving, of course, still a powerful majority for the GOP to enjoy, he wrote, "Iowans are seeing Republicans for who they are, self-serving liars who will throw their constituents under the bus to rubber stamp Donald Trump's disastrous agenda, and they're ready for change. Make no mistake, when Democrats organize everywhere, we win everywhere. And today is no exception." Now, is this guy on a pharmacological excursion or knowingly sociopathic? Your take.
Who knows? It sounds sociopathic to me. But look, I mean, this is the kind of nonsense we hear all the time from their side. And it's hard to make any sense of it because it doesn't make any sense. So a lot of the times when we hear something like this, I just kind of write it off mentally because it's just insane. And I think that's kind of where we've come to in politics. And it's hard to understand sometimes because it makes no sense to anyone remotely rational.
No, without a doubt. And they seem to live in this echo chamber of their own making. And accordingly, when you have this demonstrated inability to execute any capacity for self-appraisal whatsoever, surely you're only harming yourself. It's almost as if a bunch of folks in the DNC hierarchy have been put on a secret GOP payroll because the Republicans couldn't beg them to behave more stupidly going before an upcoming midterm. I mean, listen to what CNN data analyst Harry Enten had to say. This is from CNN, for God's sakes, talking about how Democrats are really very unappealing. Clip 3, James, if you please.
Democratic brand right now has about the appeal with the American voter as the Cracker Barrel rebrand has with the American consumers. Bad, bad, bad. What are you doing? Oh, my goodness gracious. What are we talking about here in terms of big party registration changes in the key swing states? Let's look at the key 4 swing states that, in fact, do keep track of registration by party. Look, the Republican Party is in their best position at this point in the cycle since at least 2005 in all 4 of these key battleground states. We go out to the Southwest. Arizona. How about Nevada? Republicans haven't done this well since 2005. Oh, my goodness gracious, at this point in the cycle. North Carolina, I couldn't find a point at which Republicans were doing better at this point in the cycle. It's at least this century. It probably goes way back in the last century. And Pennsylvania, very similar. Republicans doing better at this point than at any point this century, at least as far as I could find.
you got to give Enten points for enthusiastically, you know, maneuvering through his job. I mean, this guy seems to have a lot of fun doing what he's doing. But he's revealing things that I don't think would otherwise be getting revealed. I mean, when you hear him giving it in the context that he does, I got to be honest with you, I'm surprised he still has a job at CNN. AJ?
Well, I mean, they call it the Communist News Network, right? So it would surprise me that they had allowed their opinions there. But yeah, I mean, there's some validity to it. I mean, you see a state like Nevada go Republican, which is, I guess, a purple state. But, you know, it hasn't flipped in the presidential election in quite a while, like you mentioned. So I think that's significant. And, you know, you can read more into that, too. But if you have the opinions in a network like that, which don't fit the line they're trying to toe, they probably don't like that. So, good for him if he stays on there. But I'm sure they're not happy to hear him, take a line that they're probably not too big on.
No, I don't imagine they are. I don't imagine they are at all. As it turns out, of course, Trump is seemingly enjoying more support for his approach to law enforcement than Democrats would want us to believe. And some of his biggest critics have actually come around as of late, much to the chagrin of the Democrats. One of them is Mayor Muriel Bowser in D.C., where Trump has recently federalized law enforcement. Let's hear clip six, James, if you please. It's from WUSA 9 out of D.C. James, if you please.
D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser saying that she will continue working with federal agencies even after the federal surge, but she insists she wants full local control of the district. Take a look at the latest data provided by the D.C. government. These are the numbers between August 7th through the 26th. Violent crime is down 45% compared to the same time last year. Now, property crime is down 12%, but the Bowser administration really touted the drop in carjackings, 87%. For context, during the same time last year, there were 31 carjackings. This year, just 4, according to data provided by the mayor's office. Since the surge, there have been more than 1,500 arrests between D.C. police and federal agents, but Mayor Bowser says there could be more arrests by federal officers. Overall, the mayor says having more police officers on the streets in D.C. is working, but she did admit that the federal surge has erased some of the trust in D.C. police. Specifically when it comes to the presence of mass ICE agents working alongside MPD officers and the National Guard from other states.
Yeah, that seems counterintuitive. I mean, on balance, everybody's feeling safer, so why would they find that they need to have less trust in the very law enforcement personnel that are helping in the elevation of that increased sense of security? What am I missing here, AJ?
Yeah, look, I mean, in a place like that, you want to see law enforcement. You want to see the authorities on the street, because otherwise it's going to be, a dangerous place. And they can pick and choose the crime rates, whatever. But one thing is true. The homicide rates there have gone up for, I think, since 2012. And no other crime really matters if you're dead. So that's a major one, to say the least. There's some dangerous neighborhoods there. And I think having more police to step in there, and having, I think, the federal government take a part in it, anybody should support that, because we don't want these types of crimes happening. And so anything we can do to reduce it as much as possible, to fight it, to combat it, I think for someone not to be in favor of that, I guess they're pro-crime. I don't understand any other explanation. So, yeah,
it does seem very, very odd. I mean, overall violent crime has dropped 15%. Murders have dropped to a breathtaking degree in D.C. Carjackings dropped 87%. I think the report may have highlighted that as well. I mean, when all of a sudden your quality of life correspondingly improves with a very specific action recently taken, it seems counterintuitive to start demonizing said action taken. I mean, am I being too snarky here or what?
I think you had the most common sense take that you can have on this, but like I said, not everyone seems to agree with that for some reason. But I think it's just, if this were a Democrat president doing this, they probably would not have an objection to it. I think a lot of times it's more about who's doing it rather than what they're doing. And it should be about, is the action that's being taken actually having a positive effect? In this case, clearly it is. No matter who's doing it, that's something to cheer for. It'd be nice if people just rooted for a positive outcome rather than just, does my team want this, or does it help me politically or not? And I think that's a shame it's come to that.
No, I agree. I agree. Actually, AJ, if you can, hang on the line for just a moment. We have AJ Bruno with us, political and media strategist, formerly of Michelle Bachmann's presidential campaign, former Congresswoman Bachmann. You're listening to the Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network. Stick with us.
Respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, is known for affecting infants and young children. But the reality is that adults between 50 and 74 years of age with certain risk factors, or 75 or older, are at increased risk for severe infection. Dr. Candace Robinson from GSK has more.
Because the immune system weakens with age, the risk of severe RSV increases for older adults. If you have certain chronic conditions such as heart disease, COPD, complicated diabetes, or asthma, you're at an increased risk of becoming severely ill from RSV. And RSV can also cause exacerbations of certain medical conditions.
Approximately 177,000 adults 65 and older are hospitalized due to RSV annually.
The CDC recommends a single RSV vaccine dose for adults between 50 and 74 years of age with certain risk factors, or 75 or older, to help protect against RSV.
For more information on RSV, talk to your local pharmacist and visit easyvax.com for more information about how to find vaccines available near you.
Research shows a continued decline in childhood vaccines over the past several school years. That and the resurgence of measles across the U.S. has put public health officials and family physicians on high alert. Medical professionals say it's understandable to have questions about vaccines, and if you do, ask. Dr. Diana Howard with the American Academy of Family Physicians.
Timely vaccinations are essential to protect families, neighbors, and loved ones, especially as the school year begins. Your family physician is a trusted place to get the answers and support you need when it comes to vaccines. The American Academy of Family Physicians wants you to know, vaccines work. They are safe, effective, and save lives. Family physicians can help you make sure the whole family is up to date on their vaccinations and protected from preventable diseases, especially before school starts. And it's understandable to have questions. Your doctor wants you to be an advocate for yourself and your loved ones. So take those questions to your next appointment.
For more information, visit familydoctor.org.
Gen Z is connected and isolated, meaning they're connected with their phones and devices, but they're expressing levels of feelings of isolation and loneliness at the same time. And so this is leading them down a path of asking some of life's big questions, like why am I here and what really matters? And so that's taking them down a path of spirituality. And what I found as a chaplain is that when our soldiers find faith, they find the strength to face just about anything in their life. And that's why this conversation is so important. And for example, spiritually, when a soldier knows their why, it's going to help them thrive in every aspect of their life. In a large part, that's why spirituality is so important. Visit GoArmy.com. It's more than just a website. It's a front door to join a mission that's greater than just yourself. It's an opportunity to perhaps leave a lasting legacy. And in the words of the Army, become all that you can be.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something
it's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Now, what types of gains are we talking about here for the Republican Party? Well, let's compare it to this point during the first Trump administration all the way back in 2017. Look at this. The Republican Party gains in party registration compared to this point back in 2017 during the Trump first administration in Arizona. You got a Republican gain of 3 points. Okay, how about Nevada? Up the hill we go, even though we're sticking in the Southwest, a gain of 6 points. How about, again, we come to the East Coast, North Carolina, a gain of 8 points for the Republicans. And in the Keystone State in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, again, we're talking about a gain of 8 points. My goodness gracious, for Republicans, they are converting old former Democrats to their side of the ledger, as well as picking up new voters, registering new voters, and it absolutely paid off for them back in the 2024 election.
That is CNN data analyst Harry Enten, pardon me, who clearly enjoys doing his job, much to the chagrin of many liberals who watch that. And I hate using the term liberal because I'm a social liberal. The Democrats really aren't liberals today. What they are hardcore zealots from the progressive slash dementive left wing. These are militant socialists. All right. Liberalism is where you expect tolerance, but you also provide tolerance. It's a give and take. Liberals have always been more of a live and let live group. What we have in the Democrat Party has not the least infinitesimal association with live and let live. They are becoming the embodiment of the very censorial people that they claim the Republicans are. They embody the very censorship that they are trying to tell all of us is being committed by Donald Trump and his fellow Republicans. You cannot embody the very shortcoming you're ostensibly against and still be taken seriously. But they're doing it. And to these guys, you are removing their rights by stopping them from removing yours. This is their position. They have to understand. Democrats have to understand that stopping their erasing of our rights is not the removal of theirs. That's not the case. You don't have a right to remove any of ours in the name of anything you're doing. So please spare us this inverted burden proof construct wherein you tell us that the conclusion of your claim validates your point versus showing the validation itself. Or using presuppositions masquerading as settled argument versus showing how said argument was ever factually settled. Kind of reminds me of the Kavanaugh fiasco when Trump, in his first term, nominated him to be a justice on the Supreme Court. The left were screaming, how can you put a serial rapist on the Supreme Court? How can you put a serial rapist on the Supreme Court? Over and over and over again. That presupposed that he had ever been shown to be one. But that's what they do. They exist in presupposition land. You know, don't be praying for the kids that were killed in Minneapolis when you're still against banning guns. That presupposes that that is the remedy for stopping the slaughter. No. Because as I've mentioned before, according to the Department of Justice's own crime victimization survey, year in, year out, people save themselves from robbery, rape, and murder 100,000 times a year through the mere brandishing of a firearm. Now, you juxtapose that to the 33,000 lives that are lost because of guns, and you see the math for itself. Yes, believe it or not, guns save more lives than they take away. Anyway, I digress a little bit, but without further ado, let me introduce old friend of the show, reintroduce, I should say. He's sticking around, and we appreciate that. A.J. Bruno, political and media strategist, vice president at AMW PR. Again, he was state director on Michelle Bachmann's presidential campaign, and you've seen his writings in publications like The Hill, Red State, and The Washington Examiner. A.J. Bruno, thanks for sticking around. We appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it.
I want you to hear a little more from Harry Enten because it's just too much fun. And then you tell me if he's missing anything. Here's Harry Enten from CNN, the data analyst, explaining a little bit more as to why things aren't going well for the Democrats, despite their assertions to the contrary. Clip five. James, if you please.
Now, of course, Donald Trump has been president since January. Are there any bright spots for Democrats? Have they picked up any ground since January 1 in terms of party registration? Not in these key swing states, these four key swing states. What are we talking about? Party registration margin gains since January 1, 2025. Which party's gained in Arizona? The GOP. How about Nevada? The GOP. North Carolina? The GOP. How about Pennsylvania? We'll make it 4-4. The GOP. The bottom line is this, Jessica Dean. When it comes to party registration, Republicans have made massive gains compared to 8 years ago. They are in their best position in these four swing states dating back at least 20 years. You have to go back at least 20 years, at least in the case of Nevada, longer in North Carolina and Pennsylvania. So Republicans looking pretty gosh darn good, at least when it comes to party registration. And we'll see what happens down the road. But at this point, as I said at the beginning, the Democratic brand is in about as good a position as the Cracker Barrel rebrand. It is bad, bad, bad for the Democrats.
He has all the subtlety of a plane crash. I mean, oh, my God. Right. But he drills home the obvious, and yet you still have the DNC putting together these kinds of get-togethers they had in Minneapolis, wherein they are very, very preoccupied with the continuance of these narrow issues that simply do not resonate with the vast preponderance of Americans. Do you see them changing anytime soon? Will they start listening more frequently than not to voices like James Carville?
Well, to borrow a phrase from one of their heroes, I think this is an inconvenient truth. So I don't think they want to hear it. But I mean, it doesn't seem like they are, right? Because they're just going farther to the left. I mean, just look at New York. Most likely, hopefully not, but most likely you're going to have this complete radical be elected mayor of our most important city. If that happens, what does that say about the Democratic Party? They're just going hard left in a lot of places. What they need to do is move to someplace reasonable in the center. And they seem to think it's the opposite message. So it's no surprise that people aren't joining the party or identifying with it. What are you identifying with? I mean, we're talking about things, concepts, beliefs, which are fundamentally anti-American. This isn't even a difference of opinion. Some of the stuff they're advocating, the people they're putting out there are dangerous. And I don't think anyone should associate with that. So it's no shock that they're not getting more people. And hopefully it has the opposite impact until they finally get the message.
Exactly. And also, when they try to put forward an argument, they do so duplicitously, like they point out, like the whole issue of gun control or gun banning or whatever, or Trump, out there trying to add to the scales of law enforcement. They point out, well, you know, he should maybe send the National Guard to these red states that have a lot more violence. Well, the reality is, yeah, there's violence in red states, but it's attributable to blue-run cities. The latest Axios headline on this is, here it is, where homicide rates are highest, : blue cities in red states. Blue cities in red states. I mean, it is just strange. You look at the graph, the top 20 most crime-ridden cities, yes, many of them are in red states, but guess what? 19 of the 20 are blue-run city governments. Only one is not. 19 of the 20 top most violent cities are blue-run cities. Red state, blue state, question notwithstanding. Anyway, out of time too quickly. Always a pleasure. AJ Bruno, thanks again. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network. Thanks again, everybody.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.